What's up, fools? This is the QTR Podcast. Today is February 28th, 2020, and this is Markets Getting Assholed, fucking pandemic edition. I know you're not allowed to say pandemic. It's going to put the social media... Nobody wants to acknowledge in the U.S. the CDC, oh, maybe it's a... We don't know. It's bordering on... Folks, it's a fucking pandemic, okay? It's in over 50 countries. Let's get fucking real with ourselves here for a second, all right? I know reality is not the friend of the financial news networks, and I know reality is not the friend of people in politics and people that walk around bright-eyed and bushy-tailed all the time, but we need a little dose of reality, okay? I'm going to shout out a couple of my patrons, and we're going to get started real quick. First and foremost, this podcast is brought to you by those who donate a monthly recurring sum to help support me on Patreon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support. I'm going to keep it a little bit shorter today than I usually do because I got a lot of shit to say and it's Friday night and maybe one of the last nights I'm going to find myself going out to a bar because that's how real I think this shit is going to get. Okay. First and foremost, this podcast brought to you by my friends at the Sanlucci Steam Room. The Sanlucci Steam Room is probably the only place on the internet I would recommend to go and get information on the capital markets by looking at options flow. If you're looking at money coming into the often illiquid options market, which by the way can help you find out what equities are going to do, options moves often precede equities moves, and you want that information in real time, there's no better place on the web to do it than the Sanlucci Steam Room. Okay, these guys have been doing it. Sanlucci and Wall Street Jesus have been at this for 10 years now almost, and they are the foremost experts. They're also they are pioneers, okay? They're the first group of people that started monitoring this type of flow and using it to invest. So Sanlucci is an honest person. I know him very well. I hang out with him all the time. He just posted his P&L today. He's down 143 fucking racks. Find me somebody else that on a Friday after hours that loses $143,000 doesn't just go to the bar or tell the internet to fuck off, but says, you know what, this is a good time to post my P&L on the web. Now, according to that same P&L, he's still got $1.4 million in the bank. So Lucci is obviously doing very well and his strategies are working, but he's got the balls and the transparency to put out when shit goes wrong, which is more than I can say about the fucking World Health Organization and Donald Trump. All right. In addition, this podcast is brought to you by, and by the way, Lucci's shit is all in the podcast description. The 3LT playbook, his three rules for becoming a seven-figure trader. He's got a link to his master course. It's all in the podcast description. Also in the podcast description is my friends over at Rumorhound. What's going on with Rumorhound? Rumorhound is an AI-based artificial intelligence service that gives you information and updates on potential mergers and acquisitions and the likelihood of them closing. Again, if you're a day trader, that's the kind of information that you want. Even if you're an investor and you just happen to stop by the old trading account for the day, that's the information you want. Money can be made and lost very quickly on mergers and acquisitions, but also on merger and acquisition rumors. Money comes and goes. So Rumorhound has a one-of-a-kind product that's great to add to your tool belt that is going to take a bunch of proprietary variables and spit out to you whether or not it thinks a rumor is likely to happen or not happen. If you don't want to buy their service, you can check them out on Twitter. By the way, they're offering a 14-day trial. It is right in my podcast description, so make sure to check that out. 14 days, no obligation. And also just follow them on Twitter at Rumorhound. And you're going to get information for free. Good account to have on push alerts. This podcast also brought to you by my friends Corvus Gold, Monero, Investors Underground, Chris Boas, Ken R., Chris Bede, Nicholas Parks, Matthew Zimmer, Jay Mintzmyer, Russ Valenti, and my homeboy Crichton Titus. Let's get things kicking. If you're new to the podcast, first and foremost, there's a two-drink minimum. Folks, I'm doing my part. I need you to do yours, okay? I can't drink beer for everybody in the world, although at one point in my 20s, I think I tried to. Finally, last but not least, I am not an investment advisor. This is not investment advice. I am not a physician. I am not a doctor. This is not healthcare advice. This is not life advice. I hold no registrations. I hold no licenses. Just a guy making some casual fucking observations here for you. Let's get to it. What the hell happened this week, ladies and gentlemen? The Dow crashed 3,500 points. And I like these people on Twitter say, you shouldn't use the Dow. Real professionals don't quote the Dow to in points for market moves. They want you to use percentages and they want you to use the S&P. Well, I got news for you. Sometimes when you quote the Dow in points, A, it speaks to people on Main Street a little bit better who don't know that 3 or 4% is a big move for an index, except for when they log into their accounts and see it. But a lot of people on Main Street don't know that. If you tell people the Dow's down 1,000 points in a day, that's going to get some people's fucking attention without saying the S&P is down 100 handles. Nobody knows what that means on Main Street. So that's why I quote the Dow in points. And that's why people that troll me on Twitter and say you shouldn't quote the Dow or the Dow futures can eat it. Okay, the point of this podcast is not to cloak myself in more jargon. We already have enough opacity in the financial world. The point of this podcast is to come out and help people understand the things that they don't understand because there is so much jargon in the financial world. And I think in a situation like this, those numbers speak to people a little bit better than other numbers. So let's talk about where we are with this coronavirus situation. All week this week, I watched CNBC roll out people, okay? Nobody on CNBC that they rolled out over the last 5 days predicted that this was going to happen. One person messaged me, said Muhammad El-Aryan did. I didn't see that. But nobody predicted this would happen. We're seeing the same people. Ron Insana is on. Oh, okay. Mike Novogratz is on. Great. He's on every day anyways. All the same. They're rolling out the same fucking people. Just like the administration rolling out Larry Kudlow. Kudlow's on TV talking markets. Then he's on the virus task force. You know what? He shouldn't be on the virus task force. You want to know why? Because Larry Kudlow is about as much of a fucking virologist as I am, which is not at all. All right, and the people that go on CNBC Monday and tell you to buy the dip, wrong. Tuesday to tell you to buy the dip, wrong. Wednesday to tell you to buy the dip, wrong. Josh Brown tweeting on Monday that, hey, bears shouldn't take a victory lap because the market's been up so much over the last 10 years. So you shouldn't come out and you shouldn't brag when this happens. First off, I'm not bragging. I said on my Twitter feed, and I'm going to say it right now, that if I could make this entire situation with the coronavirus go away right now and have my P&L go to zero and lose all of my money, I would do it for the benefit of humankind, for the benefit of the world in general. I am not interested in fucking winning when I think that there's going to be a serious human toll that we're going to have to pay. So let's just get that right out there first and foremost. I've gotten a lot of messages from people that say, oh, you're short, you're a fearmonger, this fits your investment narrative. It's like, listen, my investment narrative, yes, I was short the market a little bit. Yes, I'm still short the market. Better way to describe my position would be long volatility. But, and what that means is you're just betting on big moves in the market in either direction. But I'm also long a lot of gold and long a lot of silver. And those got crushed over the last week. Okay, crushed. And I'm not out there tweeting, oh, gold should be bid, this, that, and the other. All right, I would have a much bigger interest in gold going higher than I would than the market going lower. But you have to be sick in the head to go onto Twitter and accuse me of tweeting the things that I've been tweeting, which, by the way, for 8 weeks, me and the people that I've been retweeting, the people in the BNO newsroom, and this guy FX Hedgers that I've been retweeting, who you should all follow, and a couple other people I've been retweeting, like Ben Hunt, okay? We've been on top of it. We've been on top of it. Other people have not been on top of it. So when I see CNBC roll out Mike Novogratz, who 2 weeks ago literally went on the air and said, I'm extremely bullish. I expect big bazookas. That's what he said. You can look at my Twitter feed. I put the clip up where Sarah Eisen reads it back to him. When you roll those people out and you bring out all the motherfuckers that had S&P targets of between 3,100 and 3,400 for the year, what are you doing? Honestly, bring some people on that had the prescience and the understanding to know what's going on here. Because this doesn't fall under the traditional, oh, I'm a perma bear and I think the market's going down. This falls under, I saw the early signs of the coronavirus happening in China. What did I say immediately? I said China numbers shouldn't be trusted. Based in my half decade of experience in working with US listed China based companies, working with Chinese nationals, having an understanding of the Chinese government, that's what I said right away. I said that 8 weeks ago. Go back on my Twitter and look at the shit that I took for that. Okay, I was scared that I was going to get banned by Twitter for saying that shit. Okay, now that's the mainstream narrative. Now I see people on Fox News, CNN. Oh, well, we know we shouldn't trust the China numbers. Fucking nobody was saying that shit. The New York Times was writing articles. People were modeling this virus based on the data coming out of China. And if you go back to February 2nd, which was late, I remember writing my February 2nd article on ignoring the Chinese data and thinking I'm a couple weeks late, okay? That was a month ago. If you go to my website, quotetheravenresearch.com, you go back to February 2nd and read my article called something like The One Thing That Could Prove a Chinese Cover-Up. I remember thinking I'm going to get banned from Twitter for this. Because all I was advocating for was paying attention to the data outside of China. Now we're going to get some raw data out of China. We're going to get some transparency because the Italian government, the South Korean government, governments around the world, I don't know if we're going to get it here in the US based on what I've seen from these press conferences from Trump over the last 2 days. I'm not sure we're going to get any transparency, and we'll get into that. But we will get more transparency here than we were getting out of China. And with that may come some things we don't know yet. First off, we don't really have much of a clue still. We're still guessing about the R-naught number, which is how quickly the virus will spread, how susceptible it is for one person to infect others. We're still guessing about the incubation period. We certainly don't have a treatment or a vaccine yet. Now we're hearing more stories, one which I just retweeted today about somebody who said that they were recovered and this recurring. As you know, viral infections, like Dave Collins said on my last podcast, and you think about when you think about shingles and you think about cold sores, these are things that just stay and lie dormant in your system. And they just come back and say hello at some point. And if this is like that, well, that's certainly going to change how we feel about things. So there's a lot we don't know yet. And there's a range of estimates and a range of outcomes that can happen here. And look, I understand that people are perpetually optimistic. I also understand that we're a resilient society. And I don't doubt that we'll come up with a solution to this at some point. But if you're buying stocks and thinking that that's going to be next Monday, you may be sorely mistaken. I mean, black swan events are called black swan events for a reason. You know, how many times did we think we had 2008 under control when we didn't? This could be unprecedented. You know, it's possible for something to happen that causes far more distress than those 2008 and 2001. This isn't a financial problem. This is a biological problem. And we're looking at it as though there's a financial fix to it. Now, I understand that the CDC and the National Institutes of Health need to be cut enormous checks from the government. The government should be giving them blank checks because we need testing and we need prevention and all of these things to be robust. And as Dave Collins said on my last podcast, the point here should be to lessen the blow on the healthcare system, or at least delay it as much as humanly possible, while we start looking for a treatment and looking for a vaccine. That's what we should be doing. But to address this as though it's a financial problem, you know, all you're doing is addressing the stock market. And there's no point in having a stock market going to all-time highs if we're going to lose 5% of the population. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but what an awful toll and an awful price to pay that would be. And if you can celebrate stocks going up and monetary policy saving the market crash after an event like that, it's sick. All right, so there's a lot we don't know here yet. And that kind of uncertainty you can see. I mean, I saw a deck from a major investment bank late last week or early this week, a major bank with high net worth clients. All right, and the deck did not look optimistic. And I've seen a lot of investment decks from a lot of banks. And I mean a deck that you would issue to your high net worth clients to let you know that the bank has consulted physicians and has consulted people, and here's what we think about where your money is right now. And I don't know, at first glance, it just didn't look good to me. It looked like it raised a lot more questions than answers, and there are a lot more questions than answers out there. We don't know where this is going to go. If you're assuming there's going to be a quick fix here, you could be dead wrong. And you also have to think about the fact that the general public still isn't tuned into this. People on my Facebook feed are making jokes about this. They're making jokes about the virus. They're making jokes about the stock market crash. Both things could be turn out to be very real. And there's going to come a point where the mainstream people, the common folk, people without money in the market that don't even notice that the market has crashed over the last 5 days, people that don't really watch the mainstream media or the news, or don't have a sophisticated understanding of what's been going on here over the last month, there's going to be a point when those people realize what's going on. And the CDC director in front of Congress yesterday said, oh, there's no reason to go out and get groceries, get this, get that, whatever. But nobody's going to give a shit about that. When people decide that the panic button gets flipped to on, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go out and they're going to get these things. And I keep saying, be prepared to see things that are outside of the norm. And I mean people on TV wearing masks. I mean people staying inside of their homes. You're going to see some shit that you may not have ever thought you would see in your lifetime. We've already seen very dystopian images coming out of China. All right, I know people say don't rely on what you see on social media. If 5% of what I've seen on social media coming out of China is truthful, it's going to be a huge wake-up call. Now, our government isn't going to go about things like China did, which is a positive and a negative. It's a positive because they're not going to be welding us shut inside of our apartment buildings or dragging people out the doors at gunpoint, hopefully. It's sure as fuck not going to be doing it at my house, I'll tell you that. But that can also be a negative. You can argue that China took a nuclear response here, and just now, according to their numbers, things are starting to trail off. But we don't even know if that's the truth. Things could be escalating in China, and China could be lying to us. People think, oh, the worst is over in China. The disruptions are over. People are back to work. We don't know. I say to people, in my opinion, based on what I know about the Chinese government, based on what I know about what comes out of that country, I trust the Chinese government no more than I trust the North Korean government. And I think they're comparable in terms of whether or not they would just straight up make shit up. And I've thought that way for years. If you don't understand it, go out and watch the movie The China Hustle. The China Hustle is about where I used to work at a little job called Geo Investing. And what did I do there? I helped expose US-listed China-based frauds. Brazen frauds. Chinese government doesn't give a shit about us. They really don't. This is what I argue about Huawei all the time too. You have to be naive. Part of it comes from our politicians being naive and saying, oh, it's discriminatory to think that way. It's not fucking discriminatory. It's called being on your guard. It's called being sharp. It's called not being a fucking donkey. That's what it's called. People now on TV saying, well, we need to make sure that just because this is going on, we don't want people staying away from Chinese businesses. Oh yeah? Where the fuck do you think those people traveled during the holidays? It's not a racist thing to say. If I had a business next door to me that was run by Italian immigrants and they were all recently in Milan and in northern Italy 2 weeks ago, would I be in there frequenting the business? No. Does it have anything to do with the fact that they're Italian? Fuck no. Does it have to do with the fact that they were in an area that may have been prolonged and increased exposure to the virus? Fuck yeah. It's not a question about that. So we need to sharpen up and we need to do it quickly. I'm not confident with the way that our government has handled this. And I said on my Periscope that I think President Trump's handling of this situation is single-handedly going to cost him the election. And, you know, there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are not going to like to hear that. And I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying to get my analysis right. I'm not trying to play to somebody's cognitive dissonance. Trump was doing fine. He was a shoo-in, I think, to win the election. But he got caught flat-footed here with this. And it's going to cost him the election. Because what's going to happen, what I said on my Periscope a couple of nights ago, you're not going to be able to stop the data from outside of China from coming out. So we're going to continue to see an increase in cases. We're going to continue to see an increase in infections. It's just common sense. You got people out there that we're still discovering that are asymptomatic, that are going out their business like it's nothing. It's a very dangerous thing. And because of the incubation period and because of the lack of testing, we don't know. We don't know how many cases are out there. That's why when Trump says there's 15 cases in the U.S. and that's going to zero, that's wrong. And hey, if Trump wants to lie about things, that's fine. If he wants to lie about matters of life and death where people are going to be worried about their family, that's going to be a big deal. Imminent life and death. That's going to get people's attention. And he has, in my opinion, bungled this so far. Okay? You don't appoint Mike Pence to get in charge of this shit. You get a physician, you get somebody who is an expert, and then you have them lead the charge. But now he's made a task force that includes Pence and Steve Mnuchin and Larry Kudlow. What the fuck do those two people know about this? What does Larry Kudlow and Steve Mnuchin know about virology? The fuck is he thinking? I'll tell you what he's thinking. I need the stock market to stop going down. And it's that missing the fucking issue at hand here that is going to cost him the election. It's going to cost him the election. He said on TV today, well, we're considering cutting off more travel. Don't consider, do it. Why would you consider? He was already late on banning travel out of China. I give him credit for doing that. But I remember when he did it, thinking, oh, this is way too late. And now he comes on TV and says, the borders are secure, but they're not. There's flights incoming and outgoing from South Korea and Italy right now. Not to mention other countries where there may be more infections than we know about. So it's a very real situation. And the market got that, right? The market understood that. And that's why I think the market dropped so precipitously as it did this week. I mean, the people that have the selling power, yeah, there's some margin calls, but mostly as people have noted throughout the week, the sell-off was relatively orderly. If you're a retail trader, you say, what's orderly about a 3,500-point drop on the Dow in a week? Well, there's just a difference in selling and capitulation, right? Orderly selling, it comes and goes. Yes, there's some volatility. Things tick down, things tick up, whatever. Pretty much, though, you know, we stayed in this range where we didn't trip the circuit breakers on the way down, which I thought was going to happen today until the Fed spoke. And if we had dropped 7.5% in a day on one of the indices, which is an enormous move for the indices, then we would have triggered a circuit breaker. Then maybe you'd start to say, okay, are we seeing capitulation? And capitulation is when forced selling, like a snowball rolling down a hill, combined with panic, really starts to make a ridiculous move in the market. And those are generally the types of moves that people look for to find a bottom or a top. But in this case, it may not be the instance because it's not about finance and it's not about coming to the rescue of the market. It's about coming to the rescue of human beings. It's about coming to the rescue of humanity. Okay? This is a bigger deal than the market. I don't know that our president understands that, and I don't know that there's been enough cooperation with world leaders yet on this issue. I really don't. You got the editor of the Global Times, which is the China state media rag, coming out, talking shit, saying, oh, it's the U.S.'s problem now. It's like, motherfucker, don't forget where this thing originated. And I've said before and I'll say again, when the smoke clears from this, whether it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, or 5 years, or whenever, we're going to find out some shit that I think if we knew it now would stun the fuck out of people. About what kind of virus this is, about what the origins were, about exactly what's been going on in China over the last 2 months. I think we're going to find out some shit. Now, if the Fed had not really used all their ammunition, they would be in a better place to cut rates here. But because the whole world is running on this stupid notion that low rates is a good thing, and if you don't know about my criticism of this or you're a first-time listener, just go back and listen to anything I've ever done. This is a problem. When you overdraw yourself with rate cuts and an actual crisis happens, well, now you're already sitting with rates too low. You know, if we had let rates normalize and let the free market determine what interest rates should be by the supply of money and the demand of borrowers, we'd probably have rates at 5%, 7%, 4%, whatever. But we'd have a lot more room for a, you know, 100 basis point cut, 50 basis point cut. Then we could cushion the markets. But that's not all the problem. Now we're out of ammunition because we wanted to baby this fucking bull market as it continued to happen for 11 years. We babied it. Babied it. And the Fed been making their decisions based on market moves on a daily basis. And we've documented that and we've talked about it for since I started the goddamn podcast. And now this is what happens. Now you got a problem. And like the Ghostbusters say, who are you going to fucking call? Who are you going to call now? What are you going to do? You know, the sell-off in gold, I'm not especially worried about. Gold sold off because like any other asset, it's something you can sell to deleverage. So if you get a margin call because your equities are taking a salad this week and you need to free up some cash in your account and you bought gold at 1100 and it's at 1650, yeah, it looks good to sell. So I think that's a lot of the reason why gold sold off. But the end game here is a winner for gold because we're going to get fiscal stimulus. We're going to get more money printing. There's only a finite supply of gold. There's going to continue to be disruption globally. And gold is not only a safe haven, but priced in dollars and with a fixed supply, mechanically, its price is going to continue to move up. I mean, we're not going to undo 7,000 years of economic law where people have been using gold as a medium of money forever. It just doesn't happen. You know, I did my podcast on February 8th called Pandemic and Other Things That Make Stocks Go Up because I knew that the market was going to have to respond to this at some point. And here we are seeing it. You know, for weeks it was clear how bad of an issue this could be. And now the market is finally realizing it. And now, depending on how bad the issue continues to get, who the fuck knows what's going to happen? On February 22nd, I wrote an article urging people to reach out to their local politicians and the federal government to urge them to take action immediately. Time is of the essence here. For every case that we don't get, that they're out there, that they're spreading the virus, for everybody that's asymptomatic, we need to test everybody immediately. And that's it. It's that simple. We need to know exactly where this thing is. We need to test everybody immediately because it's that big of a human health hazard. And then we'll see if the numbers that Trump talks about are right. You know, we got 15 cases and that's it. It's such fucking bullshit. Everybody knows it's bullshit. Anybody who's been paying attention knows that's bullshit, knows it's wrong. And again, I got to give Mike Bloomberg a tremendous amount of credit. He showed me something on the debate stage a couple nights ago because he was the first person to bring this up. Shows you how behind everybody the public is right now. We were an hour and 8 minutes into a fucking presidential primary debate and nobody's even talked about it. That was Tuesday. The market tanked on Monday. You want to talk about a big flashing fucking clue that maybe you should talk about this? Bloomberg brought it up out of nowhere. And he gets a huge thumbs up from me because of that. Shows a lot of intelligence and shows that he doesn't wait to be told what to talk about. He knows it's important, so he brought it up. So I give him a lot of credit for that. There was another headline out today that Trump is considering a tax cut to deal with the problem. A tax cut! What good is a tax cut if you're dead? I mean, I know it's not going to be the apocalypse, but this could get difficult. And this guy wants to talk about a tax cut. Look, I'm all for tax cuts. Anybody that listens to me, I hate taxes. I think taxation is theft. Okay? I hate it. I'm a libertarian. I'm Austrian school, right? I just don't like taxes. I'd be the first person to say, if he's announcing a tax cut, I don't care who it's for or how much, it's a good idea. In this case, it's not a fucking good idea because it has nothing to do with the problem. He's not even putting a Band-Aid on the problem. He's putting a Band-Aid just on an entirely different person. Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, and one of my least favorite people in history, and, you know, the world's biggest dildo, the hemorrhoid of the planet Earth, came out today and said, in case the infectious disease spreading beyond control finds its way into our country, it will entail serious consequences. Trump hasn't even made a statement like that yet. He's saying everything's going to be great, and the media's overreacting, and the stock market drop is because of the Democratic debate. These are the kind of things that, for better or worse, everybody knows I'm the furthest thing from a fucking socialist, are going to put the Democrats in office because they're going to replay those clips. And by the time the election comes around, we will have a full picture of the havoc that this has wreaked across the globe. And my guess is it's going to be ugly. Just a guess. And they're going to replay those clips. Here's what your president said at the precipice of this. At the beginning of this, why doesn't CNBC or the mainstream media have the people on social media that were right about this from the get-go on? And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, you know, this Harvard PhD that I've been reading. Talking about guys like Chris Martinson. These are the people that have had it right. How come we're not hearing from them? Does Ron Insana, and actually Ron Insana actually made some good points today, so I don't want to pick on him. But the point of the matter is, do we need to see the same people over and over again? None of whom are doctors, none of whom are virologists, telling us the same thing over and over again. New York City today said it is unable to reliably test for coronavirus. According to ProPublica, the kits that were sent to us have demonstrated performance issues and cannot be relied upon to provide an accurate result. Fucking fix it! Cut them a check! Get them fucking tests! New York City, folks, we're not fucking around. We get one case in New York City, it turns into fucking 50, turns into 1,000 immediately. It is a densely populated area. They should be first on the list to make sure that they have testing done. Congress needs to move their ass, get some fucking money deployed to this problem, and I'm not talking about cutting rates or putting it in the stock market, I'm talking about tangible, real-world resources and solutions to deal with this, and fucking get moving. Get moving. I don't give a fuck if it's the weekend. People should be working. People should be on their feet getting shit done. The French health minister out today says several coronavirus clusters have been identified and the virus is now circulating on French territory. The Canadian health minister came out a couple days ago and said start to prepare for a pandemic. U.S. crickets. You know, the CDC has issued some warnings, but now since everybody's got a report to fucking Pence, the White House is controlling exactly what the narrative is going out to the people. And listen, I know we don't want panic. Trust me. And I like when people send me, you're panicking. You're panicked. I'm not fucking panicked. I'm prepared. There's no panic here. I'm panicking on behalf of people that do not have the sense of urgency that they should. I'm fine here. I'm ready to shack up in my house for a year without any issues at all. And I can do the same shit I've been doing now, which is have coffee in the morning and booze at night and do everything in between. I'm fine. I'm really not panicked. Matter of fact, you know, the last 15 years I've been waiting for something to go wrong. I've been more on edge than now, thinking about knowing really that something eventually is going to go wrong. Now that it's going wrong and it's beyond our control, to some degree, I feel a sense of calm. I'm like, all right, well, here it is. Are we ready? I'm ready. How about the guy that went on television today on Fox News and interviewed this Pennsylvania guy who was coughing throughout the interview, took a sip from a bottle of water, and then gave it to his daughter? This was a guy who went through the coronavirus quarantine process already, coughing during the interview and sharing a bottle of water with his daughter. This is what I mean. We are grossly underinformed and we are slow on the uptake, to say the least. This guy times all of our American citizens. 38% of Americans came out today and said they wouldn't buy a Corona beer under any circumstances because of the coronavirus. This is the fucking level of intelligence we're dealing with. So pardon me for going out there and trying to shake people from their fucking slumber about this, okay? Pardon me for raising my voice, you know? And if you don't like it, fuck off. Honestly, I've blocked more people on Twitter over the last 5 days than I have probably since I've opened Twitter. You know why? Because people say, calm down, dude. Just calm down. You fucking calm down, all right? I'm fine. You're freaking out more about me delivering the truth than you are about the actual problem. I said to one guy, this isn't fear-mongering, this is reality. Guy said, I've got to unfollow you. It's just too much, Chris. It's just a constant stream of negativity. Yeah, sometimes you need that when shit is going wrong. What do you want me to do? Start tweeting out that everything's fine? The data is moving in our favor? It's not the fucking truth. You know, and I have a lot of people send me messages. Dude, when are you going to put up a markets getting asshole graphic? I'm not. You know why? Because I'm not enjoying this crash. If this was a pinprick and the financial system was going to come down, then that would be a different story. But this is an actual human health problem. I can't enjoy this. You know, I'm worried. I'm worried about people. I'm worried about people's families. I'm legitimately worried. I really am. The CDC did an update today. I listened to part of that. It wasn't really too much material on that. Chicago came out and earlier today said they're monitoring hundreds of recent travelers. Hundreds is the word. Folks, cases start showing up in Chicago. And by the way, you want to mark some fucking words? Mark them right here. Olympics, not happening. Said it a week or two ago on Twitter. Let me be the first to say it, all right? You want to call me crazy in 3 months and say you didn't know what you're talking about, you're not prescient, blah, 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 this, that, and the other? Fine. You want to ridicule me? I'll gladly take it. Today's February 28th. Let me tell you something. Baseball season, not happening. Maybe they'll play a month. The baseball season is not going to finish. March Madness. Let's see. It's the 28th of February. This shit's probably going to start getting real in the U.S., I would say, over the next month. March Madness might happen. Full baseball season is not happening this year. Olympics is not happening this year. Schools will be closed in the United States. Universities will be closed in the United States. I'm just telling you, this is the truth. And you know how I'm figuring this out? Am I some great statistician? No. Am I some virologist, epidemiologist, physician? No. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking my fucking brain and I'm turning the switch to on. What did we see in Wuhan? Well, what are we seeing in South Korea, Hong Kong, and Italy now? Well, these are the things that we're seeing. Well, how did they start? Well, they started with one case and then all of a sudden it was 300, 500, 1,000. Well, what do we got in the U.S.? Well, we got one. Well, guess what happens? Then that goes to 15, like idiot says we have. Well, 15, we're only 15, very soon gonna be zero. Not true, buddy. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of things Trump does that I support, this is not one of them. We're gonna see the same thing here. All right, flights are coming and going from Italy and South Korea today. Today. You can still get a flight there. You can get a flight to countries where they're flying to and from China. It's just common sense that things are going to get worse. The only question is how much worse are they going to get and how much time do we need for an effective treatment and to effectively figure out exactly what's going on with this virus and a vaccine. And until then, if you want to call me crazy for avoiding crowded areas and using hand sanitizer 15 times a day and whatever, and going out, and, you know, people were giving me shit because I said I got a flu shot the other day. You know, like, you want to call me crazy for that? That's fine. I'll take it. I'll take it. Give me as much shit as you want. Nothing would make me happier than in 6 months from now for the Dow to be at 35,000 and this whole thing to be over and done with. I'd be the happiest fucking clam on the beach. Zero cases worldwide. We figured it out. Mark my words. But this is not what I think is going to happen. That's why I put it down. Put it down about the Olympics. I put it down about baseball season. I put it down about what I think is going to happen. You know, the market has already been so disconnected from the economy that who the fuck knows what's going to happen. I mean, China's markets were going green while the entire country was on lockdown. You know why? Because markets aren't markets anymore. And people that listen to my podcast know that. You know, a market used to rely on the productivity of a country and earnings in order to move, right? You used to buy stock of a company because you were taking the company's future profits, future cash flow, discounting it for risk, and then putting a multiple on it. And hopefully, you would expect return on your investment over the course of that time. But that doesn't happen anymore. We got Tesla, which burns hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions a year, right now being valued at 100 and something billion dollars. There's just no reality in the markets anymore. You know, China's banned short selling. There's no reality to any of the global markets anymore. There really isn't. So who knows what the market will do, but what the underlying economy and the world economy is going to do. I mean, you think the supply chains in China shut down are a bad thing? And by the way, those are a lagging indicator. I mean, we're not going to see the effects of supply chain slowing down for another probably 6 weeks, maybe another couple months. When people start to pull everything off the shelves here in the U.S. and then there's no more pallets and no more truckloads coming in, then people are going to notice. Guy on CNBC yesterday said, hey, we usually get 30 pallets a day of light bulbs. Today we got one. People are going to start to notice. It's just because it doesn't happen immediately that people don't notice right away. So you can prepare yourself to see that. And by the way, all this shit I'm saying is what people on CNBC should be saying. All right? Doesn't have to be me. I don't need to be fucking Mr. Finance Guy. As a matter of fact, I don't want to be. But at least have one or two people on there that give you some reality. Because this is the reality of the situation. And I'm sorry if it's making people uncomfortable, but that's just how it goes. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to try and fucking level with people. Only 16% of U.S. physicians, 16% of U.S. physicians believe the U.S. government is taking strong precautions to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, according to a tracking report this morning. 16% of doctors. So while Kudlow and the Fed think maybe things are going well, the doctors, who are the people that generally deal with viruses, I mean, I don't know a lot, but just hand me that, those people aren't quite satisfied with the way things are going. And we're still very early on. We're still very early on. That means 84 out of 100 doctors say we're not doing enough. So is it just me? No, it's not just me. You know, the World Health Organization has yet to declare this a pandemic. I don't know what the fuck they're waiting for. I really don't. You know, and I got a lot of messages over the last couple of days. Oh, I made money because you said this, that, and the other. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested in your P&L. I hope you make money, but I don't want to hear about it. I'm not talking this shit about coronavirus and tweeting about it to help people make money. I'm doing it to help people prepare because I think it's important. And maybe I'll turn out to be wrong and you'll wind up with a basement full of rice. You know? The worst fucking case scenario. Eat rice for a year. Big fucking deal. And you sit around with the windows open and you go around and touch people and shake hands like we used to do without worrying about it. But I don't want to see your P&L. I'm not interested in the fucking, you know, what you're making and what you're losing. I just want people to be prepared. I want people to be prepared for the market to react, which is what happened. And I want people to be prepared for what I think is going to be an inevitable change in things here, at least over the next 6 months to a year. You know, everybody has said, Dr. Fauci has said, hey, up to 2 years for a vaccine. A lot can happen in 2 years, especially with the numbers we've seen. I mean, look at how quickly this has spread over the last 2 months. All right. Now we're talking about 24 of those months in a row. We're going to see a lot different numbers than 2 years. Hopefully this remdesivir from Gilead works out and we have a treatment. We'll see. You know, but even that, they're saying these treatments and vaccines, they got to go through clinical trials. First, they have to make sure they're safe. So they do a trial to make sure that they're safe on people. And then they got to do another trial to make sure that there's efficacy. And they take time. You know, 3 months, 6 months is super fast to go through a clinical trial. So, you know, we're rushing things along as quickly as we can. And we are a resilient society, as somebody said today. You know, like, this isn't going to make the human race extinct. And it's not going to be a zombie apocalypse. But as a guy said on CBS the other day, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. And there's no time for identity politics. And there's no time for bipartisanship. Or partisanship, rather. We need bipartisanship. Whatever. There's no time for fucking politics is the point. Whatever point I'm trying to make there, you know what I'm trying to make. Right? We need to work together to figure this shit out and respond immediately. That's what we need to do. And I urge you, continue to urge you, to speak to your local elected officials about this. Okay? Speak to the people in power. Speak to those around you. Tell people to be prepared. There's an initial kind of stigma hump you got to get over with people. You tell people, hey, prepare for this. I'll give you a perfect example. I went to the hardware store today. And a lady next to me in the hardware store had a cart full of the remaining respirators, which were P95 respirators, which if you know, they're not even the right ones to buy. And most hardware stores, what you see the N95s and the M100s are all sold out. But you see a couple of those big ones that go over your whole face, the P95 ones, still sitting on the shelf, probably because they're a little bit expensive and also because they're not the right ones to buy. She had a cart full of those, and the cashier said to me as I was in there, I was buying light bulbs and a couple other things. And the cashier said to me, can you believe this? This woman thinks she's worried about the coronavirus, you know, and she kind of like chuckled. And I was like, yeah, I believe it. And I'm like, and this is what I said to her. I'm like, you're going to believe it too. So just wait till you see working the checkout counter here at the hardware store. See what that looks like over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know, it's a shame that we are so far behind on this. And I hope to God we can catch up. And that's it. I hope you guys are prepared and, you know, please be safe. Please take care of the people around you that you love and take care of other human beings. And I got, you know, a thing full of DMs that I can't respond to, and I'm sorry. There's just so many of them. Thank you guys that have been sending me tips and shit. I see them all, but I can't get back to all of them. The people I've gotten back to, I say the same thing. You know, just stay sharp, stay vigilant, think for yourself, obey the law. Look out for your brothers and your sisters and fucking humanity. Do the right thing and prepare yourself. That's it. That's all you can do is be prepared. There's things that are in your control and out of your control. Take care of the things that are inside of your control. And then, you know, the things that are outside your control, let them be and let them go the way that they will. But things like helping our local politicians and federal politicians understand the narrative, that's something we can help control. So sing loud and sing proud, you know, but just obey the law, stay orderly, stay calm, be prepared. That's all you can do. You know what I mean? All right. Sending a lot of love to you guys and a lot of respect and hoping that everybody has a fantastic weekend. Sincerely, I hope you do. Sincerely. And I didn't even put that out today either. I didn't do my sincerely hope you have a nice weekend tweet. Just like I didn't do my market skin. Because I think it's time for a tone of something a little bit more serious. Still a little snarky. But I think the snark can kind of help jar some things loose. But overall, I want to keep a tone of relative seriousness about this. Because I think it deserves it. And I think our government and elected officials need to adopt that same tone. All right, I'm out. Peace.